This show is intended for informational purposes. You should consult your healthcare professional before starting any type of diet or workout program. Welcome to Under 10 Fitness with your host, Drew Smith. Real conversations with real people that really works. Reach your goals faster without the gimmicks. Get ready for a healthy dose of veggies and iron with Under 10 Fitness.
What's up and welcome to Under 10 Fitness. This is the show where we talk about health and fitness in a way that matters to you, giving you tips and tricks along the way. No gimmicks, no fat loss fads, no body wraps. You know the ones I'm talking about, the saran wrap body wraps that promise that you're going to lose 10 pounds in 5 minutes. None of that stuff here. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer. I'm a competitive powerlifter. But more than anything, I have this love and passion for health and fitness. And I want to learn more about what goes into the other side of fitness. We spend a lot of time on the show talking about picking weights up and putting them back down. I'm very excited because in the studio with me is Kelly Calabrese, who is a dietitian and nutritionist. She's going to tell us all about nutrition. But Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So first, before we start talking about protein and branched chain amino acids and other types of dietary needs, I want to learn about you and how you got into the health and fitness industry.
So I started out as a bodybuilder, and I was competing when Rachel McLeish was my idol. Barbarian Twins were at the shows that I was at. Pete Gromowski, who was the owner at the time, who started Gold's Gym, he was there. So I started out as a bodybuilder. And back then, women weren't even exercising, and here I'm pumping iron. So this is back in the early 80s, very early 80s. And so I started my career before I became a personal trainer. I started actually lifting weights and being a bodybuilder. And then I was a personal trainer for many years, and I had my own business in a couple of places. And when I had my business here in Colorado Springs, I had a ski accident, and I was down for the count. I had a very serious ski accident, and I had built up my business for so many years, and I lost it within the year because I was just so broken. And so I had to figure out how to get well. And so when I got well, through doing the nutrition and things like that, then I thought, well, I have a choice now. Do I build my fitness business back up, or do I go the nutrition world? So I decided to go back to school, went through the full dietitian program at University of Colorado here in Colorado Springs, and then became a board-certified clinical nutritionist back in 2007.
Wow. Can I ask what happened on the slopes there during the ski accident?
I was hit at 30 miles an hour standing still.
Wow.
And I had a helmet on that saved my life, but it didn't save me from the different health disorders that I had to overcome.
Absolutely. Now, did that put you out for a couple years before you decided to get back into it?
It was a 5-year journey.
So now you got back up, you got on your feet, you dusted off the snow there, and you jumped back into the world of nutrition. How was that transition going into from bodybuilding to learning more about the body?
You know, I thought I knew a lot about nutrition because I was doing sports nutrition with my personal training clients. Didn't know anything. After I went to school and started learning about nutrition, I said, I don't know anything about nutrition.
Yeah.
After all those years of thinking I knew about nutrition, didn't know a thing. Had to start all over again because nutrition is biochemical. You really have to know about biochemical pathways and the understanding of how the different nutrition works, nutrients work with the different organs and the metabolic system. So it's a lot more scientific than people really understand. I mean, nutrition is very scientific. And I am a biochemical. I'm an integrative biochemical nutritionist.
Okay. Now, is that different from a typical nutritionist?
Yes, it is. I work differently and operate differently than dietitians and other nutritionists. It's a lot more. I do the physiology of the biochemistry. So I take a blood test, and I can take a regular blood test, but my blood test that I've designed with Quest Diagnostics has 80 markers. So I've been trained to look at those markers and look at disease differently. So I'm looking for functionality, not pathology. I'm looking for prevention. So when people work with me, I can see the cancer before it happens. I can see the Alzheimer's before it happens. I can see a heart attack or stroke before it happens. I can see diabetes before it happens. And then I help them achieve a greater wellness, state of optimal wellness, so they don't get those diseases.
Wow. Now, is this something that's newer, or because I've never heard of this before?
Yeah, it's a unique, you know, there's very few people doing this work.
And do you love it?
I love it. Every day I get up and I help people. I help them get off their medications. I help them live vibrant lives. I help them lose weight. I help them address their health disorders. I love it.
And you have described yourself as kind of a guinea pig. And I've looked at your website, and you kind of struggled with some things on a personal level.
Yeah.
Describe that.
So when I had that ski accident, you know, the traditional system, I was kind of in between the traditional system and the natural system. And I really needed to figure out, you know, what was driving my health disorders. The ski accident exacerbated a pre-existing condition, which was mercury toxicity. So once I figured out for myself that it was mercury toxicity, then I addressed that component and I addressed ridding the body of mercury toxins.
And is that as easy as avoiding some types of food? Or?
It's not an easy process because your body holds on to toxins in your fat cells. So you have to draw the toxins out of your body. You have to literally draw them out with different therapies.
Wow.
And that's what I did.
Okay, that sounds pretty, well, intelligent for me. It sounds way above my pay grade. How do toxins work? Are toxins specific things like mercury? Is mercury a toxin?
Yeah, all chemicals are toxins. Foods can be toxins. So even our food system is very toxic. So if you eat a genetically modified organism, which is, it's prefabricated with, you know, governmental prefabrication. So if you eat genetically modified organisms, which are tainted with bactericides and chemicals and pesticides. So when you're eating those foods, you're eating bacterium that lives in your gut. So that's not good. And then if you're eating like wheat that is no longer the original wheat crop because it has more gluten protein, the body can't digest that protein, so then you get sick. So people are getting sick just with foods. So foods are chemicals. All environmental toxins, pesticides, petrochemicals, organic solvents, heavy metals, that's all toxins. Bacteria, viral, parasitic, fungal, those are all toxins. So toxins are coming from so many different places.
Yeah, and food's probably a big one of them.
Yeah, food
is
big.
With all of the new processed and genetically
Absolutely.
Modified foods that we're talking about here.
Yeah, makes people sick every day and they don't realize it.
Now we're going to talk about that more, but I want to know, are you still competing in bodybuilding or lifting regularly?
No, I work out on a TRX strap.
Oh, TRX, do you do that at home? Do you do that at a gym?
I was doing it at a gym, but I just have the strap hanging from my banister on my, you know, in my house.
And in addition to the nutrition, you do some personal training as well?
You know, I do. I have some people that, you know that I was a professional fitness trainer for many years, so they still call upon me once in a while.
And I want to learn about your workout regime. So with the TRX, is that all you're doing?
No, I have the total vibration machine. I love that. It's the best thing since sliced bread. You just sit there, you just vibrate. I remember growing up as a little girl, my mother would go to these places that had the belts that you put around your butt and you just shake your butt. I always laughed about that. But this is similar to that, but you're standing on a vibration plate that's a teeter-totter and a circular. So you have two motions going on and it really helps your alignment of your spine and it really helps your metabolism. I just love it.
So this thing, this platform vibrates and rocks side to side while you stand on it?
Yeah.
A little massage bed on your feet.
Love it.
Now, is there a learning curve with that? How did
No learning curve. And you just move your feet around. You just, every 15, 20 seconds, you just keep moving your feet around. You can bend your knees, straighten your knees. You can twist your body. You can move your feet in different ways. Sometimes I play like a, what's the Titanic where you're out there? And you're out there and you have your arch back. So I play Titanic sometimes.
Yeah, in the arms of an angel.
Yeah
that's a good one. Wow, I've never seen one of those machines. Where do you get something like that?
Well, there's a few places you can go. I work with a chiropractor, so he sells those machines.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, people can contact me if they want it.
Okay, there you go. If you want a, what's it called?
It's called a total vibration machine.
Total vibration machine. Something like your grandma would use, only instead of a belt wrapped around your waist, you stand on a platform that shakes.
Yep.
And then obviously you're very you're in touch with your diet. So you know all those things that are coming together. Did you see a big change in yourself and your body composition when you started going to school and learning about these things?
Absolutely.
Was there something that you noticed that changed drastically?
Yeah, the inflammation. People don't realize they think they're fat, but they're not fat. They have a lot of edema, a lot of inflammation because of the foods they're eating. So that goes right. Once you get rid of the foods that are causing inflammation, that puffiness and that bloatiness goes away.
Is that bloated feeling that I get after I eat, popcorn at the movies?
Oh, that's terrible. That's a terrible GMO.
Is that a bad one?
Oh, it's really bad. Yeah, movie theater popcorn's the worst.
I love it. It's my favorite, though. All right, I'll have to start popping my own and taking it.
That's exactly what you should do. That's much healthier for you.
Well, because it's $8 a bucket, too, so it's not cheap by any means.
But you have to get the organic popcorn if you're going to make it.
All right.
Non-GMO.
Non-GMO, organic.
You'll see the label. It'll say non-GMO.
Because there's a way that people can word things, too, that might be a little suspicious. So we're going to talk about that as well. We'll talk more about diet and nutrition and some other things because you've got a whole blog. So maybe we'll break down one subject, talk a little bit about hormones and how those work in the body. Again, I am here with Kelly Calabrese. She is a
integrative biochemical nutritionist.
It is going to be my goal by the end of this episode, by the end of this show, to be able to say that. So here we are on Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. We'll be right back.
Community powered radio for Colorado Springs.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. This is the show where we break down health and fitness 10 minutes at a time. My name is Drew Smith, and I am in the studio with Kelly Calabrese. She is an integrative biomechanical nutritionist. No, she's shaking her head at me. Okay, integrative biochemical nutritionist. We spent the entire break there going over that because that's a mouthful for me. So, Kelly, welcome in.
Hi. Good to be here.
So you studied a lot about nutrition and how it works inside of the body.
Yes.
And you've taken it a step further than, I guess, the traditional nutritionist would.
I consider what I do physical fitness from the inside out.
That's a good way to describe it. Now, I'm confused about protein. So I put this out on Facebook, and I've got some questions for you. I want to know about how protein works. There's some content out there that's kind of confusing. I've heard of an incomplete protein.
Yeah, so your branched chain amino acids would be considered incomplete because it's just four of them. Leucine, isoleucine, valine, and there's another one. So there's four branched chain amino acids. Those four together don't work well. You actually need all the aminos. In order to be a complete protein, you need all the aminos. You need all 18, all 22. You have your essential and your non-essential amino acids, and you need those full amino acids to work as one whole unit. If you just have a couple aminos together, so when people are out there taking arginine for different things, or they're trying to pump iron with creatine, that's just not a full protein. You need all the proteins to work together.
Ah, got it. And how many amino acids are there?
I believe there's 18 essential and 22 non-essential.
Wow.
So essential means so there's one with foods and then there's one that you have to supplement with.
Got it. And does your body produce some as well?
Yes, that's it.
So the non-essential are the ones that your body makes, and then essential is the ones that you have
the
to
foods.
Eat. Now, if a protein is listed on the back of a product, like a bean or rice, it says it has protein
those
in it.
Those two
but
together.
I've heard that they're not complete in the way.
No, they are. Those two together are.
Okay.
Those two, bean and rice, is considered a complete protein.
So they're, but a bean by itself isn't?
Nope.
Really? So it can still be called a protein, but it's not a full protein?
Exactly.
So you need all of the amino acids to make a technical protein.
Yeah, meats are great because meats will give you everything.
Meats have everything in it. So if you want a full, complete protein, it's better to go with
chicken
or beef or most meats have it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Now, BCAAs, they're huge in the fitness industry.
Right.
Are they beneficial for building muscle or?
Yeah, but you still need all the aminos to work as one whole unit. You need your aminos because that's your enzyme support. Your enzymes is what's giving you that metabolic function. That's what's going to give you your energy and it's going to give you your proper nutrition for protein.
So when I'm out there buying my supplements, it might be better to actually buy a protein powder as opposed to BCAAs.
Well, absolutely, but there's different protein powders. You have your whey and your soy, and you have your rice protein, and you have your pea protein, you have your collagen protein. Now, you can get formulas that have, like, say, pea protein with the aminos, and then you can get straight amino proteins, and you can get collagen, and of course, collagen's coming from animal.
And do you know if there's a protein that's better than another from plant protein or animal protein?
Well, animal protein is always going to be better. The collagen is my number one choice. So when I put my patients on protein, they get the collagen with the aminos.
And is that something that you can buy at a health
food
store?
No, it's actually not there yet. They haven't gotten that far. There's only one company I know right now that actually makes that product.
And you had to find it online or? How do you?
You have to go through me for that, for the collagen.
Got it.
But you know, that's just, people can choose to do the collagen with me, but they can just go to the store and get their rice protein. But you really want to be doing protein powder with aminos, the full aminos. You got to make sure they're all there.
Okay. So when you're looking at the back of your protein powder, you really need to
see all the proteins,
checking out all the amino acids that are in there.
Yeah.
Now the collagen protein, how do they, do you know how they make that?
It's a secret formula.
Super secret. Nobody knows.
Yeah, they're going to try hold on to that patent.
Now, have you seen how that specifically helps people?
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. It's been a wonderful product for all my patients and the ones that need to gain weight and just, you know, energy-wise, and just, it's just a wonderful product.
And do you recommend a high-protein diet to people?
No. You don't want a high-protein because a high protein is going to tax the kidneys.
Okay. So protein is kind of taxing on the kidneys.
Oh, absolutely. So you really do want to do, you know, a paleolithic diet is a great diet for anybody over 40 who needs to lose weight. Before 40, people are starting to have metabolic issues, but not really. After 40, people are just trying to lose weight. And so doing a paleolithic diet, which is your protein, your meats, fruits, and vegetables. But that's not, you know, for most people, you know, they want to put the carbs in. So you can put the carbs in intermittently. You can do gluten-free pasta. You can do rice crackers. You know, but your carbs are coming from fruits and vegetables because those are carbs.
Right.
And then you have your protein with your animal sources.
And carbs from fruits and vegetables, are they considered complex?
Yes, they're complex.
Okay, and then simple carbs would be?
Your starchy carbs, your sugars, your like candy, cookies, cake, pasta.
Okay.
Breads.
So would my sweet potato, would that be more complex?
Yes, your sweet potato actually is metabolized as a complex carb. And of course, you know, fruits and vegetables are complex. And of course, in the nutrition world, they're going to say grains are complex. But I'm breaking it down into three categories. You have your simple carbs, and then you have your complex carbs, and then you have your starchy carbs. In the nutrition world, they'll put the starchy carbs and the complex carbs in the same category. I'm going to split them all up. I'm going to say your simple sugars or your simple carbs are going to be your candies and your cookies. Your complex carbs are going to be your fruits and vegetables. And then your starchy carbs are going to be like your potatoes and your pasta and your bread. So I'm going to divide the three.
Take it a little step further to be more correct, I would assume.
Well, to help people, because people don't know. They don't know the difference. They, you know, one lady, she didn't know the difference between wheat and corn. I said, they're two different grains and they look completely different when they're growing too. I don't know why she couldn't get that in her head.
It's, well, I would venture a guess here that we don't know what our food looks like anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I was lucky enough to grow up in a family that my parents were avid gardeners, and so they grew everything from corn to blackberries in the backyard, and so I got to see what my food looked like.
Right.
But nowadays, everything comes in a box or a package.
That's it.
And so we really don't know what food looks like anymore.
I encourage people to just stop what they're doing and figure out how to go to the store and make their own food. It's going to be cheaper and healthier.
Now, do you have any tips when it comes to going to the grocery store and finding those good organic foods?
Yeah. What I do is I actually do a grocery tour. I do a two-hour grocery tour. I do it all the time. We go to King Supers and we go through every aisle and we talk about the labels and we talk about the different foods and we talk about what's GMO and what's not. We talk about what's gluten, what's not. And I go through and I give them recipes and really help them to understand about foods.
That's great.
Yeah.
I've tried something called the perimeter diet. And okay, so you've heard of it. You're shaking your head here. And that's just where you go around the perimeter of the grocery store. And that's where they usually keep the lean meats and all the veggies.
Right.
But they do sprinkle in all those goody cakes in there, too.
They do. It's somehow the cakes and the produce are in the same section. I don't know why
right
they do that.
Right there. Yeah, easy to get to, I guess. Now, a gluten-free diet, do you recommend that to everybody?
I do, because people don't even realize that they're having thyroid disorders. And if you're having a thyroid disorder, which the doctor hasn't tested because they don't usually test for thyroid, if you're having an issue and a thyroid issue, you don't want to be doing gluten or dairy. So a lot of people are having thyroid disorders and they don't even realize it. But a lot of people are having gluten sensitivities and they don't realize it. They're not relating their headaches or their bloatiness or their weight gain or their pain in their joints to eating gluten. They're not even putting two and two together. And the doctors aren't putting it together.
Now, is that something that you can disseminate from your test that you take?
Yes.
The blood test.
Yeah.
And so you can tell if somebody has a gluten intolerance.
Yeah, well, not specific that, but I can see if they are having thyroid disorders because my blood test shows a lot of the endocrine hormones. My blood test will test for that, where you don't get that with the doctor.
Got it. And so if you know that there's low hormones, is that how you know a
thyroid's
high, not working?
Yeah, low or high hormones. If the hormones are not in balance, then there's going to be other issues. And so then I would recommend to that person to go off wheat and dairy.
Well, I want to talk more about this blood test and how it works and the different things that you can tell just by looking at some blood that you take from a patient. And we'll be right back and we'll talk about that here on Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ.
Under 10 Fitness is social. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Under 10 Fitness.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Squat Rack. Squat Rack doesn't want you to forget about him. Get into the Squat Rack and do some squats. I promise you it'll be good for your glutes, hamstrings, pretty much every part of your body. Go squat. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer, a competitive power lifter. I am in the studio today with Kelly Calabrese of Optimal Wellness Solutions. We are chatting about the dietary needs and how things work in our bodies. And Kelly, you do this really cool blood test with some of your clients. What can you tell from a blood test?
I can tell so much from the blood test. So I designed a blood test with Quest Diagnostics back in 2006. So I own that blood test. And I designed a blood test that has 80 markers. You never get 80 markers with the doctor. And through that blood test, I'm able to determine, you know, what's going on with the person's health and what the disorders that they're having and how we're going to rectify that. And so on my blood tests, I have like immunoglobulin markers, which are going to show what's happening with the immune system. I have thyroid markers that will show if there's a dysfunction with the thyroid, adrenal markers, you know, your stress organ and what's going on with your stress in your life. I have markers for iron, so I do all the iron markers. I have an ANA with titers, another autoimmune marker, so if somebody has an autoimmune situation, we can manage it from there. And I have, you know, the basic CBC, you know, like liver and kidneys and red blood cells and white blood cells and you know, lipids, you know, cholesterol and stuff. So there's a lot of markers on my blood test, but I'm looking at the blood tests for functional. I'm looking at the blood differently than the medical system. They're looking for pathology. They're looking for, you know, to put a person on drugs or if there's going to be a surgery. And I'm looking for functional, looking at the whole body as one unit. And I'm looking for prevention. So I want to prevent the disease. I want to prevent anything coming down the pike. So that's what my blood test is designed to do for prevention. So the individual that comes to me, they're coming to me so they can get off their medications, so they can live a long life, living it well, pain-free and disease-free.
Have you been able to see some clients get off of drugs like statin drugs?
All the time.
Diabetes medicines and stuff?
Yeah, it's amazing. So I had... So the statins are, I consider a statin drug a fluff med. Those markers, those drugs are there to change the blood chemistry markers, to lower the numbers on the blood test. But that's not real, because the reason why we have elevated lipids, elevated cholesterol, it's the body's natural response calling up those lipids to protect the nerves, organs, and brain from toxic exposure. So when you are on a lipid, you're creating more toxic exposure. You're shunting all the fat to your liver, creating a fatty liver, and we're not getting to the root cause of why you're having those elevated lipids. So let's address the toxic exposure. Let's address if you're having petrochemical poisoning or heavy metal poisoning or pesticide exposure. Let's address why you're having the elevated lipids. Let's get you on natural red yeast rice, which is in a statin, but you can take it in a natural form. And let's get to the root cause of what's driving that disorder. And diabetes, you know, if I have these therapies in my practice where I had a patient who was in her 60s and she just could not get her blood sugar down. She was in the 300s and she tried as she might. She was on metformin. It's a diabetes medicine, and she could not get it down. So we did these therapies. And her blood sugar went back to normal. And her doctor was amazed. And it only took a couple of months. That's it.
And are you finding that just some simple tweaks in the diet can be enough to really change the course of somebody's life? Because we're talking about diabetes.
Yeah.
And, preventing heart disease, right?
Yeah. Diabetes is, you know, up there with heart attacks and just cancer, and it's just going to be another biggie out there. And so with people who have diabetes, we definitely work on lifestyle changes. We definitely work on the diet. We definitely work on the exercise. They have to do all that. So this lady who had the diabetes, who's now normal, she got the total vibration machine. So that was her exercise because she couldn't even walk. She was just not in very bad shape. She was on her way out. She actually was on her way out of exiting from the planet. So she now is vibrant. She's now, her health is great. They're on a cruise right now. She wasn't even, you know, she was so sick they weren't even going to take a cruise. So she has her life back, and I think she's 68.
Yeah.
So she's doing great.
So giving your life back, or getting your life back, just through changing your diet. And you have the power to do that. You can take control. Are there some things that you see that come up very common in a blood test with your different markers there? Some, I don't know, I guess things you see all the time.
I see things all the time in the blood test, but each individual, it's their blood. So there's no two people that will have the same blood test. So each person is managed individually. I'm not a cookie cutter like the traditional system. Oh, you have this symptom, here's this drug.
Yeah.
That's not me. When you come to me, it's specifically your blood. It's you. It's your life. It's your character. It's your profession. It's how you handle stress. We take all that into account.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Nobody's the same, and that's how I address the squat rack. If I'm training a new client or something, we specialize in strength, and you gotta look at everybody as an individual, and nobody's gonna squat exactly alike. So
they're not.
All right. And when people come in, so do you test before and then after to see if there's a big difference?
I would like that. I always would like them to do a second blood test, because the first one is to create the program and make changes in the blood. The second one is to actually, they'll see it in their body, but to see it on paper is always great.
How long does this process take?
It takes about 4 to 5 months. So one blood test will carry about 4 to 5 months. And then after the program, after that 4 or 5 months is up and they've gone through all the different stages and all the different nutrition therapies, then they have that option to retest.
How long do you see it takes a typical client to make those big changes?
So the people that come to me are already nutrition minded because they've done so much already to try to heal themselves because they're sick. I mean everybody's sick. So the people who get to me are not ones that are just, they're just well and they were curious. Most people come to me because they do have serious issues. So by the time they get to me, they've done a lot of lifestyle changes. They're you know, most of them are gluten-free. Most of them are not eating processed food. So they really have managed a lot on their own before they get to me. And I'm just the last piece to get them over the hump.
Got it. So, yeah, I guess if I was on the internet and I was going to look for a nutritionist, which is how I found you, by the way. I just popped into Google nutritionist in Colorado Springs and you came up. I would already want to be on that route to be in there. And I have made those changes as well to take my life to that next level and get more healthy and make my life a better place. Because this is the only body we have, right? And we need
Absolutely.
To take care of it.
We do.
And we treat our body kind of like a temple. Now, when we eat these junk foods, is there, I guess, any research on how much we have to eat for it to be detrimental? Is it okay in moderation? Do you talk about that with clients?
Yeah. You know, when my clients come to me, they're sick and they want to be well. So there's no room for junk food. So it becomes a more strict. So when you come to me, you've got to be ready to make those changes. If you're not ready, I don't want to waste your money or my time. So when people come to me, they are ready to make those changes. And no, we really have to get off the junk food and modify and moderate the, you know, alcohol consumption and, you know, things like that.
Now, is some wine and beer okay? But if you're gluten-free, there's some beer that has gluten in it too,
but
right?
There's gluten-free beer out there. There's actually a gluten-free beer. Have you tried it?
I've tried a lot of different beers. Maybe I'll try out the gluten-free beer. Is there one particularly that you like?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't drink beer.
Oh,
but
okay.
One of my clients who had to get off beer, she's drinking the gluten-free beer. It's not helping. She's got to get off the alcohol if she wants to lose the weight.
Yeah, alcohol in exercise and from a standpoint of a trainer for building muscle, and we compete in powerlifting and bodybuilding, they really don't mix.
They don't mix.
And they you can't.
It's a lot of calories. I mean, people don't realize that alcohol is 7 calories per gram. So it's more than carbs, because carbs are only 4 calories per gram.
and it's an empty calorie, right? Your body, what does your body do with
It'll go to sugar. It'll be
metabolic.
Yeah, your alcohol, you have to break it down twice. See, when you eat sugar, since it's only 4 calories per gram, it's broken down faster. When you drink alcohol, the body has to break it. It's going to be tougher to break it down because it's 7 calories per gram.
All right, and then it ends up turning into sugar.
And then it goes onto your stomach and your waist and your butt.
That's where it likes to hang out.
Yeah.
Mine likes to hang out in my stomach area if I do get to that point. So let's take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we'll jump into the diet a little bit more here with Kelly Calabrese, who is an integrative biochemical nutritionist, right here on 93.9 KCMJ.
Welcome to Under 10 Fitness, giving tips, tricks, and motivation when it comes to health and fitness.
What's up, and welcome to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ, where we talk about health and fitness in a way that matters to you. My name is Drew Smith. I am here in the studio with Kelly Calabrese, who works with Optimal Wellness Solutions. Now, is that your business that you own?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so you are the owner over there. So what's the main part of your business?
So the main part of my business is working with people with hormone disorders. So people who have thyroid disorders, Hashimoto's, people who have sex hormone dysfunction, people who are having adrenal inefficiency or insufficient adrenals, blood sugar dysregulation. So you have your diabetes, you have hyperglycemia.
And how big of a problem is that? How busy are you?
Huge. It's just everyone's having endocrine disorders. They're also having immune and neurological disorders that they don't know about. So what happens is when disease starts, it really targets the endocrine system. If you don't address it there, then you're going to start having immune problems. If you don't address it there, you're going to start having neurological. So people who are having autoimmune fibromyalgia, ALS, multiple sclerosis, people who are having serious neurological autoimmune problems, they already are taxed endocrine, immune, neurological. You don't want to get that far.
And do you see a trend? Is there a certain age range, or is this affecting everybody across the board?
It's affecting everybody across the board. Doesn't matter what age you are. We're seeing teenagers with serious old age health problems. We're seeing everybody.
And can it all come back to our diet?
Yep. Foods are definitely a culprit.
In the end, it kind of comes down to what you're putting in your body and how you're taking care of it.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm sure there's other circumstances out there that we're not able to control, but the diet's the one thing that we can control.
Yes, we can make better food choices, and people are just not, they're just not there. They're not recognizing that what they're putting in their mouth, no matter how little it is, it's really affecting them because it adds up. If you do a little bit here and a little bit there, it'll add up after a while.
Do you work with people on the psychological point of that?
Yeah, I mean, there is always a psychological component that we need to look at food differently, and they need to shift their perception and perspective on food. And once they make that shift, then it'll be an easier choice to choose better foods.
It's really hard because when you have that emotional response to a food, I think you've already made that decision that you're going to eat that food and nothing's going to stop you. So you really need to attack it at a mental aspect of it, right?
Yeah, it's definitely all parts, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. It all goes together.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. But I want to talk a little bit about fat and fat stores.
Yes.
So fat stores are, what does a fat cell look like? Is it a sac?
Yeah, it just looks like just very clumpy, yellow, grizzly. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
If you look like, you know, you look at a piece of meat and you look at that grizzly meat, that's what our fat looks like.
So we've got that and it's wrapped around our bodies and we keep it in different places. When we don't get our metabolism working, does our body slow down and we don't use fat like we should?
Yeah, if you're not eating every 2 hours, you're slowing down your metabolism. You want to feed your body every 2 hours. It'll be good blood sugar regulation. It'll be good for your brain. It'll be good for your fat stores because the brain won't be starving. You know, when you're not eating, the body goes into a conservation mode and then it holds on to the fat. And you don't want it to hold on to the fat.
Well, and that's how we use calories. So that's it's a big part of life. And so when we're not, how much do we have to eat every 2 hours?
Not a lot, you know.
A couple hundred calories, 100 calories?
Yeah, you can do a snack. I mean, I recommend that you do your 3 meals and then you do your 2 snacks. So that's your 5 meals. And every meal has to have some kind of protein source in it.
I like that. So we're talking nuts, almonds you can
yep,
do?
Absolutely.
What are other good, like, snacky items that have good protein in
you
them?
You can do, like, beef jerky, organic beef jerky. That's another good one.
That's easy, yeah.
That's easy. You can do, you know, you can take a little piece of chicken and have that as a snack.
Okay. So you can just have a bite of chicken and some other, do you recommend a lot of veggies as snacks?
Always. You can do your veggies with hummus because garbanzo beans has some protein in it.
Oh, yeah.
So you can do like your carrots and your celery and your bell pepper with hummus. That's a nice snack.
Okay. So tons of easy options there to make it easy. And this is highly recommended for everybody across the board.
Across the board, you can eat almond butter with an apple or a banana. And you just do a half an apple and a half a banana. You wouldn't do the whole apple or the whole. It's just a snack.
And it wouldn't be that hard to do. It would take you 2 minutes to scarf down a quick snack like that.
Easy. It doesn't. There's no preparation. You just take the almond butter out of the jar and just put it on the banana.
Do you think that that kind of that midday lull that we get might be just that we're hungry? And if we took a handful of almonds and a couple sprigs of broccoli or whatever you want to eat.
It's your blood sugar crashing.
Yeah.
And people go to Starbucks. Instead of thinking about what they need to be eating, they go to Starbucks to have a pick-me-up.
Yeah. And that's probably the
worst
bad thing to do.
Worst thing. It taxes your adrenals. So now you're even more stressed. You're stressed when you got there, and now you're more stressed, and you're still hungry.
Yeah. You haven't helped yourself at all.
No.
Now, do you know anything about starvation mode and how the study that they've done on that?
Well, yeah, it's that same conservation mode I was telling you about. And, you know, when you starve your body, you shut down your metabolic function. So everything gets shut down, even your brain.
Your brain is shutting down, too. Is that foggy feeling that I'm kind of getting where I can't really focus on anything?
Yep. And you need carbohydrates to have brain function. Brain only works on carbohydrates.
Oh, the brain only uses carbs.
Yeah.
And then your muscles use protein or?
Yep. And they use carbs as well.
Okay.
And fats.
And do you know about any type of breakdown as far as the macronutrient portion of it?
Well, your macronutrients are going to be, like we were saying, your protein, your carbs, and your fats. And your micronutrients are your vitamins, minerals, and water.
Now, I've never heard of micronutrients. This is the first time we brought it up. So it's vitamins, minerals, and water are the micronutrients in the macros. Now, do you know of a breakdown that works good for your macronutrients, like a 20-20-40 or?
It's going to be different for each person because the metabolic functions are different. So like if you're trying to lose weight, you're not going to do a carb load. You're going to do some carbs and you're going to do like, so you'll do a little bit of starchy carbs, but mainly if you're trying to lose weight and you're past 40, you're going to be more on a paleolithic diet. So you're going to do meats, fruits, and vegetables, and your fruits and vegetables are your carbs.
Okay. And what about, let's talk about me for a minute here. I want to build some muscle.
Right.
And I want to get stronger in the gym. Is there a specific way that I should be looking at my macros?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to need to do protein, carbs, and fats because you're young and you're healthy and you don't have a weight issue. And lifting weights is metabolically efficient and it uses a lot of calories. So for you, you would eat, so your protein breakdown, you base your protein breakdown on the grams. So if you're, say you're 60 grams, 60 kilograms, that's your weight. Say you're 60 kilograms, just
say. Okay, that's how much I weigh.
Yeah. So it's always in kilograms. We're not, we're doing a, you know, of course, European numbers. So you're 60 kilograms and you're going to do 1.5 grams of protein per day. So 60 times 1.5 is going to be about 100 grams of protein. But you have to watch it because if you eat too much protein, you're going to tax your kidneys. So there's always that fine line there. But because you want to build muscle, you could safely go to 1.5. But somebody that's not bodybuilding and not working so hard, they would just do 1 gram. So they would just do 60 grams of protein per day. So the average would be 60 grams of protein per day.
Okay. Would you consider that maybe a minimum of protein that people need to be eating?
There are people that would have to do less. If people have kidney dysfunction, they couldn't do 60 grams a day. They'd only have to do 40 grams. That's what I'm saying. When you say the breakdown of 20% and 40%, that's no longer. That's textbook. Each individual is going to be different. So we work on the each individual for, you know, specific for their needs.
Okay. And is that something that you can help clients with?
Oh, absolutely.
So if I wanted to come in and I said, hey, I got a bodybuilding show coming up, I want to break down my macros.
Right. Well, you can definitely do that.
And so the micros, that's vitamins, minerals, and water.
Uh-huh.
And what's the research on that? Do you recommend, does everybody take a multivitamin?
Yeah, I really feel that, you know, it'd be good to take a multivitamin in a protein powder, not your Centrum, not your basic, your over-the-counter supplements are toxic.
Oh, really?
They're not cut in clean labs.
Really?
Yeah, and so there could be pesticides and there could be mercury. There could be different things in those products. That's why I'm not such a big fan of over-the-counter. You know, the supplements at the natural stores are going to be better than the box stores. But, you know, I recommend a good protein powder for your vitamins.
It has those vitamins and minerals inside of it already.
Yep.
And you might as well, because you don't really need to double up. And that's what I've noticed, that if I read the labels on the back of my protein powder right next to my vitamin, I'm like, well, I've got 100% of vitamin A and 100% of vitamin A. And
right.
I don't need 200% of vitamin A a day.
Right.
What happens to that excess vitamins that we take?
Well, your fat-soluble vitamins, A is one of them, they can be stored, which may not be good. That's where you get your toxic exposure. They're not water-soluble. Your B vitamins are water-soluble. Your C vitamins are water-soluble. So you have water-soluble and non-water-soluble vitamins. So you want to be careful with the non-water-soluble. You don't want to overdo it.
Overdo them? And can they cause dysfunction?
They can cause health. Vitamins can definitely cause health problems. You have to understand what you're taking. And really, for most people, they're just taking supplements blindly. They haven't had a blood test read. It's really important that everybody should have their blood test read at least once, just to see what's coming down the pike and just to see what nutrient deficiencies they have.
I've never had one. I've always wanted to have one done.
Yeah, it's just a great, I think everybody should have their blood test. You know, everybody should have it done at least once. And not everybody's doing this work. So, you know, this is a unique, specific gift that I have.
Again, Kelly, I just want to thank you so much for coming in and joining me today on Under 10 Fitness. Kelly's website is optimalwellnessllc.com. Her number is 590-9879. Of course, that is 719-590-9879. I'll post everything up at under10fitness.com. that we talked about today. Now, coming up, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to some of the folks over at Skate Strong. This is a wonderful organization here in Colorado Springs that is helping youth. Well, not just youth, it's anybody who wants to ride anything on wheels, from skateboards to bicycles, those scooters. If you're good on a scooter, you could do that as well. And we're going to talk about all the great parks that are run and helped maintained by Skate Strong when we come back here on 93.9 KCMJ. And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. We're going to wrap up the show here talking to a nonprofit organization. I want to make sure that we are spreading all of the resources here in Colorado Springs, because if you don't have all of your necessities met, how can you focus on health and fitness? Now, today, we're actually going to be talking to Skate Strong. This organization helps our youth and anybody who wants to ride a skateboard or anything with two wheels find a place to do that, a safe place to do that, an honest place to do that. In the studio right now, I got three guys here from the organization. I've got Tony, Travis, and Arik. We're going to go around the room and introduce everybody. So welcome into the studio. Arik, please introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Arik Swan, and I'm the chief executive officer, which, you know, simply means I'm stuck with all the legal liabilities on it. But I'm very much behind the scene, and you'll hear kind of what's going on with everybody else.
And Tony, what do you do with the organization?
I am the business liaison. As a business owner in Colorado Springs, I have a unique opportunity of knowing other business owners and also get the responsibility of asking them to contribute to our organization.
Got it. And Travis, what do you do?
I'm the community outreach liaison. I am basically the person who walks around and make face and kind of introduce Skate Strong to everybody in the community, and then kind of direct them towards Tony to help hopefully work out a partnership or anything like that. So
now, how long has Skate Strong been around?
We were founded in December of 2010, and the initial goal of us getting together was to find a way to get a vert ramp over at Memorial Park. That's what we were initially, but we've kind of grown since then.
And you guys did get that. Did you, have you worked on any other projects? Because Memorial Park, tell me a little bit about that park, Tony. What's going on over at that park?
It's a pretty unique park in the fact that, number one, it's free to anybody who wants to use it. Not only that, we have every discipline of skateboarding now that we do have the vertical ramp. That was a big part of making that a destination park for many pro skaters and also anybody who wants to start skateboarding at any level. And it's been through Skate Strong that the park has grown and it's been maintained a lot by the city, which we're very thankful that they, you know, gave us a lot of the things we need, the infrastructure we needed for the ramp and for the park. But, you know, it's been a great opportunity for people in the community as well to get together and take care of something that is part of this great city. And it's 50,000 square feet, I believe.
Yeah, it ended up being about a $100,000 donation from Skate Strong to the City of Colorado Springs Parks and Rec Department. And as Tony had said, what it did was it made it one of the only public skate parks in the nation where you've got all the four main disciplines, and you can do it from a beginning level to a pro level. And that's what we'll tell you about in a little bit is the Rocky Mountain Rampage, which is one of the biggest international professional amateur competitions that goes down.
So I want to talk a little bit about who gets involved and who this park is benefiting. So, Travis, who's benefiting most from this
park? I would say it's just like the kids and it's anybody who's really interested in skateboarding and stuff like that. It's kind of in the center of the city, so it attracts a lot of people from all the suburbs and stuff like that. So you get a lot of people from like up in Briargate and down in Fountain and everything else. And it's like Tony said, it's easily accessible and everything. And it's just everybody kind of benefits from it. All the skaters get to like practice and stuff there. And then the parents have like a safe place where they can drop their kids off and everything else. So,
And is this the only park that you guys work with, or is there other places?
We opened a little one in Widefield at the community center down there. So we donated a little spine ramp there as well, and then kind of created a little skate park out there. So
you guys are hitting it hard, getting skate parks built all over the place. Because when I grew up here, there was no place to skate.
Goose Gossage,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that might even came after, because I'm talking 98 was when I was trying to ride a skateboard.
Back then, it was Acacia Park then. The ACP, CHP, Curbhead Posse. and that was the reason that Goose Gossage was built. Was Acacia's downtown, obviously, and Goose was built to kind of get skaters out of there as well. So give them a place to go.
So aside from offering a location for people to skate, how else do you help these skaters?
Well, Skate Strong was started by skaters for skaters. It's a small grassroots nonprofit. And basically we provide opportunities for all skaters and amateur skaters looking to break into the sport, giving them opportunities that normally they wouldn't have. There's a lot of amateur competitions. Some of them are invite only. Some of them you have to qualify for. A lot of the things Arik has been doing and other people on the board is over the years we've formed relationships with different groups of people that have different types of events, and now we're becoming one of the pre-qualifiers for a couple different things. And, you know, also besides that, when I'm at the park, there's parents bring their kids there on scooters. They're 2, 3 years old, and they're out there enjoying the nice weather, the park, and it's a great opportunity for people like me, Travis, and other people that are there to help out and say, hey, you know what? We're a bunch of really nice guys having fun. We want to teach you how to have fun with us. And, you know, beyond that, which we'll probably talk about later too, is the economic value of what Skate Strong does and what that park brings to the city is pretty big.
Yeah.
Especially with some of the contests we do.
Now, do you have a program where somebody who wants to learn how to skate can get involved with?
Yeah, we actually do. We do a lot of like skills workshops and stuff like that, where like people who are interested in progressing at skateboarding as like a sport and stuff, where they can get like one-on-one lessons and stuff like that. We also do progression sessions where professional skateboarders come out and they donate their time and stuff like that to kind of do the skills workshop, but a little bit more in depth as well.
All right.
So, and then we do also do like community outreach to like schools and stuff like that to get people just interested in skateboarding to then further go into the progression sessions and stuff.
So you guys are a wonderful organization. There's a bit of a misconception out there about skating. How has skating changed, and what really is it?
For me, I'm going to show my age here. In the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, I started skateboarding. And it was kind of a niche thing, and it was kind of an outcast thing. And I was the weird kid with the long hair and the skateboard that was the weird kid, the bad kid, and got treated as such. And kind of back in the day, I reacted to it. And now that I'm older and maybe a little wiser, I see kids and younger people like Travis and teenagers that skate, and they're so dedicated to the sport, and they treat it as what it is. It's a sport. It's a disciplined sport. And to watch these kids with the dedication, the drive to succeed, and the only person that's pushing them is them. And one of the big misconceptions that I've seen that has definitely changed over the years, the skateboarding was, you know, a bunch of misfits. Now it's a bunch of athletes who do things that 99% of this population cannot do. I can throw a ball. I can hit a ball with a bat. Getting on a skateboard is a whole another ball game. And we were just talking about this beforehand, that the perception has changed so much that when you watch a commercial, a TV show, a movie, and there's a young kid, teenager, who's supposed to be portrayed as young and hip or cool, somewhere in that scene is a skateboard. In the background on the wall, there's a poster. So somewhere it's crossed a line from being a bunch of hooligans to, hey, this kid's cool. There's a skateboard in that scene. So yeah. I think it is slowly changing, but I think with what Arik and Jono and the rest of the board and Travis and what the community outreach has done is shown people that, you know, this is a sport. It's a disciplined sport. And, you know, we're as committed to this, if not more, than any other sport that's out there right now.
And there is possibility to be pro at this as well. You have a couple skaters that went pro in the program that you guys know?
Yeah, there's a couple of kids that started out as like little Groms, then moved into the amateur and stuff like that. And through Skate Strong, they got the opportunity to skate with a lot of like living legends and stuff in the skateboard community.
Well, Tony and Travis, tell me about the Rock the Rampage event.
Well, when we have a Rocky Mountain Rampage, which is July 22nd through the 24th, in conjunction with that, we're doing Rock the Rampage, which is going to be a competition-style music event that is going to happen when we're not skating and competing. We're going to have bands on a stage that are going to compete for a chance to win. I believe we have a cash prize, and the winners of both days get to play a live event at the Black Sheep. And the people over at Black Sheep are being really great with helping us out. And Travis has a little bit more on that.
So a big shout out to Jeremy Grobsmith and everybody over at the Black Sheep. They're going to be donating kind of basically the talent. They're going to reach out and help us find our music talent and stuff like that. And then they'll donate like the judges and everything as well to make sure it's like a fair event, because skaters can't judge music. So, a big shout out to the Black Sheep. Thank you, and looking forward to working with you on this really rad event.
I just want to say thank you again, Tony, Arik, and Travis, for coming into the studio and sharing all about Skate Strong. The website is sk8strong.org, active in the Colorado Springs community, making it easy for anybody who wants to get started skating or continue skating or just learn more about the sport itself. It's a great thing for kids to get involved in, and it's amazing that Colorado Springs is getting this going here. Lots of opportunities for our youth and anybody who wants to get active. And again, I want to thank Kelly Calabrese for being on the show, nutritionist who knows her stuff, and I feel like we barely just scratched the surface. We kind of talked about a bunch of different topics, and I'd like to dive into those even more, so we'll definitely have Kelly back on the show. Ask her all of the fun fitness questions. If you want to ask a question, we're active on social media at under 10 fitness. That's under TEN fitness. You can tweet us or Facebook us, and we will make sure to ask your questions, so that this is your show. And we want to make sure that we're answering questions that are relevant to you. And as we're wrapping up the show today, I just want to share an article that I found with you on people.com. What happened is that some people went out and did a survey on advertisements and fitness advertisements specifically, and what they found is that the majority of people, over 71% of people, don't relate to fitness ads because they have different body types, and then 64% find it discouraging to try to work out and achieve those physiques. and it's a little bit backwards. And it's frustrating coming from the fitness industry, seeing these ads that are targeted towards the everyday office worker. These people are professionals, and this is what they do for a living. They shape their bodies into that physique. They absolutely cut down. They're dehydrated. They're carb depleted. They're malnutritioned at that point, and then they get all oiled up and tanned, and they get it one simple picture, and then that's what we advertise is their everyday body. And it's just a little bit frustrating and discouraging, but I'm glad to see that we are on the right track and we're seeing through that. Thank you for joining me. Again, this is Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. You can stream on kcmj.org. Listen to us live Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. That's the show for today. My name is Drew Smith. As always, remember, stay motivated.